Masechet Makot Perek Aleph Mishnah Tet. We've been talking about halachot that apply to a large set or group of witnesses. Here the Mishnah is going to tell us what is considered to be a single set of witnesses and when are they considered to be different groups. Mishnah says, Hayu shenayim ro'in oto mehalon zeh, ushnayim ro'in oto mehalon zeh. If a person was committing a murder and there were two witnesses watching him from one window, and there were two other witnesses watching him from another window, and they both did not see each other. These sets of witnesses did not see each other. Ve'ehad matrebo ba'emsan. There was another person standing in the middle between the windows and was warning the person not to commit the act of murder. A person can only be sentenced to death if he was properly warned about how forbidden the crime is and the punishment for committing the crime. So one person warned them. He was in the middle. So there's five people who are involved here. Two in window one, two in window two. They don't see each other. And then there's a man warning the potential murderer. Bizman shebiksatan ro'in elu et elu. When some of the people see each other, what we mean here is, if the people giving the warning, or if the person giving the warning, saw the witnesses in the windows, and they saw him, hare elu edut ehat. All of these people are considered to be one set of witnesses, even though they couldn't all see each other. Like we said, the people in the witnesses could not see, in the windows could not see each other. The fact that they all could be seen by the person giving the warning, and the person giving the warning saw them, says that they all join together as one group. V'im lav, but if the person giving the warning did not see the witnesses in the windows and they did not see him, hare elu shete eduyot, then it's considered to be two sets of witnesses. The group in each window is considered to be its own set of witnesses. And how does it all play out? Halacha lema'aseh. Lefichach, therefore, im nimset ahat mehen zomemet, if you have both sets of witnesses testify, and according to the way we just concluded, let's say they didn't see each other, and they didn't have any contact, or didn't see the person who was giving the warning. So they're separate groups. And im nimset ahat mehen zomemet, and one of these two groups in the windows is found to be edim zomemim, that means another set of witnesses came, and they said, ah, this group who's in window one, who claimed to be in window one, and they saw a murder, they were with us. They couldn't have been there to see a murder. So now those edim are edim zomemim. They were trying to give testimony about somebody that he should be put to death. So we say these two witnesses in window one are put to death because they have other witnesses testifying about them. So they're put to death. Who vehen heragin? But not only are hen heragin, not only are they, the edim zomimim, killed, but who as well? Who is referring to the person who committed the murder? The person who was on trial for murder. Why? Because even though the edim zomimim are now out, we don't take their testimony, and they're actually put to death for what they tried to do to the defendant. They tried to have him executed, so we kill them. We also kill the person who's on trial for murder as well. Why? Because the other set of witnesses who are in window two are not connected to the people in window one. They're giving testimony. Their testimony is clean. We don't have any people claiming that they are edim zomimim. So their testimony works and it ends up serving to kill the person on trial. And that's what we say about Sheniya Petura, the second set of witnesses, who are not found to be edim zomemim, are fully exempt from punishment. The two sets of witnesses are different groups. They're not connected. The second one is not affected by the fact that the first set was found to be edim zomemim. So their edut works to kill the person on trial. And ironically, the edim zomemim, who were not really there, because other witnesses claim they weren't there at the time, they're put to death as well, because they tried to put somebody else to death, even though that person is being put to death as well by the testimony of window two. That's how it all plays out. That's all according to the understanding that they didn't have any connection and they were two separate groups. But if we go to the first way in the Mishnah, that they actually did have a connection through the person who was warning the potential murderer, then nobody is actually killed. How? In that case, all the witnesses are considered to be one set of people. And once some of them are found to be edim zomimim, the rest of the witnesses are disqualified as well. So even though only the people in window 1 are found to be edim zomimim, the people in window 2 are now automatically dragged along and disqualified from giving testimony. They're not edim zomimim, but they're not allowed to give testimony anymore. So the person on trial for murder is not put to death because there's no valid testimony against him. Likewise, the people who are actually edim zomimim are not killed either. Because if there are edim zomimim, the only way we kill them, that we bring punishment to them, is if they're all of the witnesses who are part of the group are found out to be edim zomimim. So here, the people in window 2 are not edim zomimim, so we don't kill the people in group 1 who are actually edim zomimim. That's the halacha. So since in this case, some of the witnesses were found to be zomimim, some not, we don't kill any of the witnesses, but their testimony is all thrown out, and therefore in that version of how things play out, nobody would die. According to the above, or really the beginning of the Mishnah, we sort of said if the witnesses in the window and the person in the middle don't have any relationship, they don't even see each other, the person in the middle who's giving the warning is not considered to be part of either group. But the fact is, he can still give the warning. They in the window could be the witnesses, and that's enough to have the person who's on trial executed. But Rabbi Yosei is going to disagree. Rabbi Yosei omer le'olam en heragin ad sheyehu pi shenei eidav matrin bo. Says Rabbi Yosei that a criminal is not executed unless the two witnesses who testify against him, and they are the witnesses, that they also gave him the warning. But if a different person gave the warning, like in our case, and the other people were the witnesses, then the warning is not valid, and the criminal cannot be given the death penalty. How does he learn it out? Shene emar al pi shenayim edim. He learns it out from the pasuk that says, by the word of two witnesses. He learns out from here that whatever is going to be done, and the continuation of that pasuk is, al pi shenayim edim, the person is going to be put to death. So he learns that from here, that whatever is going to go into putting this person to death, including the warning, has to happen by the same two witnesses. That's the opinion of Rabbi Yosei, arguing on the implied opinion of Tanakama. Davar Acher, another interpretation we learn that from this pasuk. Al pi shenayim edim, the pasuk where it says, by the word of two witnesses, by the word of two witnesses, shelot tehe Sanhedrin shoma'at mipiatur geman, that the judges, the shofetim of the Sanhedrin, are not allowed to hear the testimony through an interpreter. The word pi over here, al pi shenayim edim, is telling us that the judges have to hear the words of the witnesses. They have to understand the language of the witnesses and can only listen to testimony directly from those witnesses and not through an interpreter or somebody else.